comes to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
So I gotta ask you, when you picked up the controller and you first started playing, what was your first objective?
To try and stay alive longer than 20 seconds.
I introduced Dan to Overwatch today.
He didn't even tell me what it was. I didn't even know it was a first-person shooter.
What did you think it was when he said, hey, we're going to play Overwatch?
It was made by Blizzard, so I just figured it was like a...
Like MMO. An MMO. Like I'm going to bring the laptop and drop it in your lap and just be like, hey, Leroy Jenkins like, shit for
the... Go kill some goats in the forest. That's all you do in WoW, right? You just kill goats?
Well, I think before you get to goats, you have to do sheep.
Oh.
Yeah, I think sheep, and then you
maybe
level
start
up
with right scorpions.
Don't you just stomp those, right?
No, I think you still attack
Has
them.
Anybody played that god-awful game?
No. I did in 2008 for a half hour, and then I threw it away.
With your laptop?
It was a Resonance laptop. They were like, try this. It's awesome. I said... This is what you fuckers do for 5 hours a day.
It's insane.
This is terrible.
It wastes lives away.
So you wanted to get laid at some point.
Yeah. That's literally what I said. I was like, I threw it away. I'm like, I'm going to go get laid. Bye.
So Overwatch, I saw you playing as a mariachi. You
is
were
that
nailing
what it was?
That down.
Yeah. No. I did not understand what... I didn't even know that I had a special...
Does he have maracas?
Dan was holding the controller like when you give your like 4-year-old sibling like a video game controller for the first time, and they're like, I don't even know how to hold this the right way.
Yeah,
like,
are there too many buttons for you?
Circle and square don't do shit. Like, well, circle crouches. Square doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't think it. Yeah. I mean, it's
really is it's that reload. Good, what was reload?
Shit, I don't know. Actually,
it depends. It depends what character you have.
Yeah,
really.
Because some characters you can't reload, bro.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So we're talking about the game Overwatch, though. You played one other character though, too.
Yeah, the Widowmaker.
Yeah,
she was nice.
Well, Widowmaker too. And
she was great.
Yeah, but what was the final match?
Chappie.
Chappie, and then you also played as Winston.
Winston,
which was very contextually fitting.
I feel like that was the character which I had no chance.
Yes. Because you seem to put up a barrier, and that did not protect you from...
I feel like some people would say I was
wrongly
killed as
wrongly
that character.
Killed? Yeah. Mm. We'll just throw this down. Winston is a gorilla.
He's a big-ass gorilla.
And some shit happened.
And he's not a very good player, I'm going to be honest. He has like an electric gun.
Yeah. And some shit went down this week.
He charges a lot.
An electric gun? Does it play like soft rock? Does it shoot soft rock musical notes?
There is a guy that actually shoots dubstep in that game. It's crazy. Dan is giving the worst look right now ever. But Dan, so how was your experience playing as Winston?
It was better than Harambe's experience at the zoo.
Yeah.
Not to sound like insensitive a-hole, but if you don't know what we're talking about, you must have been on vacation and I'm jealous of you or something. You must have been out of the country because an incident at the zoo was in Minnesota, correct?
No, it's the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, Cincinnati. Well, our notes say Minnesota, so crack research team. We're going to fire short round.
Short round, you fucking piece of shit.
And the three or four-year-old kid fell into this gorilla enclosure after climbing through some shit because he wanted to go play in the water because there's like a moat that surrounded the wall.
Humid day. Makes sense.
Yeah, a little kid. He thinks it's a pool.
Yeah.
And he slid down to the enclosure and this like...
Did he slide or did he fall?
I don't know.
Like, I think he dropped straight down on his face.
When you there's a... For those of you who haven't seen the video, there's a video out there. And when you see how far the distance is, like, I gotta wonder how the kid got in there. Because he couldn't have just jumped in because it was like a good 20 feet. He would have got hurt somehow.
I think
he just kind of like slid down his butt down the wall. Like, that's what I think. Like, because like there was only like a planter that in between like where the person's recording and dropping in.
Right.
Like, for an adult, that's really easy to find.
Yeah, but this kid
into.
Hasn't escaped Alcatraz before or anything like that, where we're giving him like a precedent where we're like, man, he's very, very capable of breaking in and out of shit.
You don't know that.
I mean, but...
Maybe he's like the Rugrats with the fucking screwdriver.
Tommy Pickles.
Yeah, dude.
He's the Tommy Pickles of this.
Yeah. You don't... Like, we know nothing
that
about
is,
this
That
kid.
Is very true. That
all,
is very
all
true.
All we know is that he got into this gorilla enclosure. A male gorilla decided... I have a new toy. Looks like he's kind of like keeping him in the corner for a little bit. And then, you know, people start to freak out because they're like, oh shit, a 400-pound gorilla and a mini little kid. And the gorilla just starts to drag this kid as he runs through the water, like by his leg.
Like, it's a terrifying video.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, when you watch it, I mean, I can't imagine. But what Brian was saying is earlier, before we even get to what happened later, because I think we'll all talk about that too. But what Brian was saying earlier is it doesn't seem like it was a blink of an eye kind of thing where you can, what the parent is kind of saying is, hey, I took my eye off my child for a second. Everybody can kind of understand that you take your eye off your child for a second and they can be gone or whatever. And it's like, they can be gone, but I don't know if they can be necessarily like deep into breaking into a zoo enclosure because...
I mean, that's my thought is the kid just must have fallen in, you know, because if he actually like slid down something, had to break through something else or climb over something, that's going to take time. And I got to imagine in that span of time, they're going to be able to get somebody down there, or like tell the kid not to do it. You know, I think the way that the enclosure or the exhibit is designed, it just must be really easy for someone to fall in if you're a stupid kid and like walk over a wall, you know.
Yeah, there's a great online, I guess, a letter I would say from another zookeeper who works with gorillas that basically breaks down the whole situation from like an expert point of view, and it talks about how like zoos struggle with making enclosures because you want it to seem like a natural habitat for the gorilla, but then you also, patrons want a good view. It makes me think of Jurassic Park, really, where you're just like, you have to find this balance in between, like, consumers don't want to worry about danger, they want entertainment, and then your responsibility, you're probably going to go right up to that line where that safety entertainment, like, it's that gray area, that line that you ride with how safe you really build something, but as long as it doesn't impact the entertainment value that your patrons get.
Yeah. And I mean, what's crazy about it too is like when you think about it, I don't know what the Cincinnati Zoo's historical reputation is or whatever, but I was reading an article the other day and like the last couple of years there's been incidents where they had like polar bears running through a hall, it bit off a trainer's arm.
What?
And things like that. Like they've legitimately had like terrible incidents happen at this place. And I'm like, you know, unless the San Diego Zoo's done a good job of covering that stuff up, I can't remember the last time this has happened there.
That's why it's world famous, bro.
Hey, there we are.
You don't hear people talking about the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah. But I think...
in other countries.
But I think the problem is...
Now
is,
you do.
Yeah.
I mean, now you will.
That's the issue is... Was it the enclosure, though? I mean, at the end of the day, like that I think the debate is... I think from what I can tell is it was a really, really shitty situation. I'm like putting myself into like five different pairs of shoes, trying to assess like the best scenario and how to judge it or whatever. I think they did the best thing. At the end of the day, they had to make the call. Could you imagine a video if a kid was getting dragged around and killed and that was happening? The ramifications of that happening, the zoos that would be shut down, things like that. I mean, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. We won't get into animal rights or anything like that. But I think... had it been another way and the kid been killed, this thing would have been...
The gorilla. Anyway, if the gorilla kills that kid, they're going to kill the gorilla.
Exactly.
I mean,
they kill dogs when dogs attack kids.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's blame that can be placed on everyone involved, right? The kid for falling in, the mom for not being attentive, the zoo for maybe designing an enclosure that was too easy to get into. But I mean, you can't put blame on the decision that they made when put in that scenario.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, not at all.
Because exactly.
It's just they, you know, they go through these hypotheticals, I'm sure, all the time. And I know that there were people on the actual like security team who made the decision that were interviewed and, you know, gave their reasons why. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't have a wild animal kill a little kid in your park.
No,
these days with so much, because it's security, so easy. Well, and it's so easy just to record that, you know, have it go viral and then you're done. Yeah. Like you kill an animal. Guess what? There's people still walking around in that zoo. That kid gets killed, your zoo is done.
Like this is different than like that tiger situation up in like.
Where somebody like, just freely.
Yeah.
Like,
on that note though, like what we were talking about too is I think like you get through, like you progress through, like a state of like putting yourself, like I was saying, like one through one pair of shoes to another, where you're kind of going like, shit, man, if I was the gorilla, man, if somebody's kicking down my door and acting like a dickhead and I'm scared about them, I'm going to, you know, kill them or whatever.
Yeah, if someone shoots me with a tranquilizer, I'm probably going to smack this kid upside the head.
Exactly, yeah. Something like that. Or if you think about it too, you're like kind of going like, well, yeah, but, you know, necessarily he didn't deserve to have a home. Does he necessarily have a right to have a home as a gorilla or whatever? And you're like, well, not necessarily. If that's the case, then why did humans not set up better parameters to keep, you know, less human interaction to scare the shit out of this gorilla to do such a terrible thing if he did interact with any gorilla or anything.
I mean, it is, you know, human beings' fault for going out, capturing the gorilla and putting him in the goddamn zoo or having him born, you know, there and raising it in this space. So, I mean, obviously that's where the initial, you know, the initial finger can be pointed.
Question for you guys, really quick. Do you think that it actually has bigger impact because it's a gorilla? Because, like, Allison and I were talking about that, too. And, like, it's not necessarily, like, and I'm not trying to diminish any other animals whatsoever. Every animal has, you know, an equal life and everything like that. But when you think about a gorilla and you think about chimpanzees and everything like that, like, they have such a high level of thinking and things like that. Like, it somewhat...
It's kind of sentient.
Yeah. It almost gets a little more tragic when you hear about something like this happening because you're almost like, man, like, how different was that from... I'm shooting just a fucking person or whatever. And I mean, it is a 400-pound animal that can crush a coconut in a split second or things like that or whatever they were saying. But
yeah, no, I would 100% agree after watching the video, but not after. So I first read about it and then I watched the video. When I read what happened,
you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, but I didn't really have like an emotional reaction. I mean, obviously I did because it was, you know, a shitty situation. But after watching the video, you can see how the gorilla behaves with a lot of just like, you know, human being tendencies where he picks the kid up out of the water and he's like patting him down and they're just like hanging out. You kind of go, oh, fuck, like this
everything's
is almost
fine.
Like a person. Yeah, right? But... yeah, I would say the video definitely, and I can understand why there are so many people out there that are, you know, against the killing of this gorilla because when you see something like that, it does, you know, trigger something different than if it were, you know, a lion or
exactly.
a hippo.
It's the volatility of something that's been caged. Like, imagine if you creeped into some old man's house that's been, like, you know, shacked up for 10 years or whatever, and you're just running in. Like, you don't
like
know
you
what is going to happen.
Marathon?
Things
what,
like that.
A what kind of marathon?
A video game marathon.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would highly suggest if anybody's interested about reading more about this.
Don't
situation.
Watch the video. The video is not worth watching. I mean,
if you want clarification for yourself, we, you know, do what you want to do. But there's a really good letter from this other zookeeper, Amanda Donahue, who basically just analyzes the video and what she's seeing and with her experience and talks about how, like, gorillas are classified as a mammal one, or where zookeepers are not allowed to be in the enclosure with the animals unless there's a barrier between them, like they're that because of how strong and quick they are. So like you're never even having like
smart.
Personal reactions. And she talks about how like from his posture, from the tightening of his lips, how he was dragging the kid, like it looked like the gorilla was going to get aggressive, try and be intimidating, and was going to treat the kid like they do lots of branches or toys where they drag and slam and break.
And that's what I'm saying is when you watch the video, you're getting to the point where you're almost going like, this is getting very, very terrible really, really quick. And then luckily, I think they made the right call. I mean, as sad as it sounds, at the end of the day, you know.
It sucks,
I wouldn't say it's the right call.
It's not the
right
call.
I would say, but I mean, you know, that's...
It's the least worst call.
It was the only thing they could have done.
Yeah, they needed to make an executive decision with the least ramifications involved, and they went with that. And yeah, it's just a really, really shitty event. I don't think anybody... Yeah, I don't think anybody reads this and kind of... It's odd.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it stirs up a lot of emotions.
Yeah, let's talk about something that's a little fun before we head to break. So the NBA Finals started tonight.
Woo, baby.
Mm-hmm. Rematch of last year.
Yep. Hopefully I called it at some point during one of our recordings. I think I did.
I think you did. So we've got Golden State versus Cleveland Cavaliers.
Versus LeBron James.
Yeah. Who do you guys got? Let's just do it quick. What do you think? Who are you taking?
Golden State in 7.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Who's a finals MVP for you?
Steph Curry.
Okay. Brett?
Golden State possibly. Are they going to play game 6? I know this is...
In Cleveland. Like a
big, they'll play game 6 in Cleveland.
If it's necessary.
Yes. I'm 99% confident. It's 2-1-1-1, meaning 2 in Golden State, 2 in Cleveland, 1 in Golden State, 1 in Cleveland, 1 in Golden State.
It used to be 2-3-2, but they switched it about like 3 years ago. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I could see Cleveland nicking the home game from Golden State and then Golden State winning game 6 in Cleveland. That's, yeah.
So Golden State winning in 6?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you, Dan?
Well, I mean, we already know. You just got to now put it out there.
Yeah. I'm doing Cavs in 6. So I guess I'm the only one that believes in LeBron.
It's not that I don't believe in him. I don't believe in his support players.
This is arguably the most complete, talented, healthy roster he's ever had in the NBA Finals. Because if you go back to when he was on the Heat, they were shallow and D-Wade was hurt. And you had guys like Ray Allen and Shane Battier and Mike Miller.
For all 3 finals?
Well, yeah.
Like, Dwayne Wade was hurt in all 3 finals.
Well, not hurt, but he had the natty knee injury. You had Chris Bosh, who had natty injuries. You had Ray Allen, who was towards the end of his career. Shane Battier, towards the end of his career. Mike Miller, who couldn't like not get hurt, even though he played like a boss. Their best big man was Chris Anderson. Like they
Birdman.
Like, you know, I think if you look at this roster with Kyrie Irving, with Kevin Love, LeBron, J.R. Smith, I feel like it's the first time LeBron gets to a matchup where his team can actually like stand with him. Because his numbers that he put on last year without Kyrie and Kevin Love were ridiculous. He averaged like 36 points in the finals, almost a triple-double.
Yeah, but to think that he's going to – I don't know. I think that it requires that dynamic where LeBron leads the game the entire – like leads the team the entire time where – he's got components now that he has to rely upon to get them there. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to flow properly the way that you expect it to.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Cleveland's a great team.
Like, they're squatted up.
And they're, you know, head and shoulders above any other team in the East. But you never see a team like the Golden State Warriors in the East, you know. You can kind of get a...
Well, you've never seen a team like Golden State. Well, technically the Bulls were in the East.
I mean, technically, you've never seen a team like Golden State because they set the wins record. But, I mean, there's no close competition in the East to even rival, in my opinion, the top 3 in the West. So, I think that Golden State going through the West and being the best team ever is just going to weigh down and just be too much for Cleveland to overcome.
I don't know, because Cleveland went through the East so easily. Like, not even like,
imagine if the Spurs or the Thunder were in the East, dude. They'd win 70 games.
I won't argue with that because the Spurs won 69 games. So they only needed one more. But what I'm saying is, like, I hear what you're saying. Like, one conference isn't harder than the other, but they handled their shit. Like, they lost twice in Toronto. and that was it. They swept their first two rounds, and
they won the first 10 games handily.
Like, it's that's a ridiculous thing to do. And I would say that Cleveland is better than Oklahoma City.
Sounds like there's a debate here. Who do you guys think is better, LeBron or Steph Curry?
Two different players.
Yeah.
I mean, who would you like?
All around is LeBron, but shooter and scorer is Steph.
Man, that's
Are
really
you going
tough.
With LeBron?
If they were playing one-on-one, I think you take LeBron.
How about you, Brian?
Well, that's a different question.
One-on-one. Oh, so Brian's going Steph Curry.
Well, no, here's if we're talking about one-on-one.
One-on-one.
I'm taking LeBron James. If we're talking about starting a team right now, I'm taking Steph Curry.
Okay. So I think that's always the debate that people have, though, is who's better, Steph Curry or LeBron James?
You know they're only 3 years apart in age. LeBron's 31 and Steph Curry's 28.
Yeah, at basketball. So I think it'd be interesting.
What else would they be
horse racing?
Bagging groceries?
Well, I think it'd be interesting.
Tying their shoes?
I think it'd be interesting because we never debate about what they would be better at if we put them into another job.
Oh, LeBron. LeBron all the way at everything.
Every single job. Yeah.
The dude's an athletic, freaky, coordinated beast.
You know what? Let's pull up a job right now, a random job generator, and we'll figure out the debate. Ready? Real quick.
Okay. So,
random job is going to be a healthcare manager, LeBron James or Steph Curry.
Oh, LeBron. It's LeBron. His team.
Healthcare management?
Yeah.
Yes. Manager?
Really? He's always LeBron. Thinking about other people. Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's a leader, so he'd be a better manager.
So that's a
than
unanimous
Steph Curry.
Decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. One more.
Steph Curry would be too busy.
Funeral service director.
Ooh. LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron.
Steph Curry gives a stanky face.
Yeah, but LeBron's dealt with loss more than Steph Curry.
Exactly.
That's true.
Agreed. Very true. Handles it with composure.
Yeah.
All right. Environmental technician.
LeBron.
No, I'd give that to Steph.
He's from California. He's the Cali kid, man.
Well, Eden and what?
It's also a female name, and I feel like that's a female job. I don't know why. It's just like my
collections officer.
Oof. Oh, LeBron.
Really?
I'm sorry. If he showed up at your house trying to collect, are you going to pay him? Steph looks like the 13-year-old kid that delivers the paper down
the
street.
What are we in, like 1600s England? Yeah. Last time I checked, nobody knocks on my door to collect any money. They call me on the phone.
I would say that's a tie because they both drop dimes.
Ooh.
And then they can pick them up to collect them.
Fraternity house cook.
I mean, Chef Curry.
Chef Curry.
Yeah, I would say Chef Curry.
Chef Curry with the shot, boy.
All right, and we will do two more.
Okay, two more.
Two more. All right. And we have...
So right. Random, huh?
Yeah. Barber.
I would say Steph because...
That fade?
Because, yeah, I mean...
Does he have a better fade?
You got to be like selling the... Or you got to be owning the product you're selling, right? So if LeBron doesn't have hair...
Yeah, I mean, his shit's all painted and messed up, so yeah.
Yeah, his hair is science.
Except Steph is not allowed to touch my beard, because his is terrible. LeBron's beard, however, nice.
Yeah.
What if it was Rogaine? Would that be different?
This is different.
Like a Rogaine salesperson?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Because not only does he sell it, but he's also
all right,
a
last
user.
One.
All right, here last we one. Go. Last one.
I'm sorry, LeBron, if you're listening to this.
The best one. Calculus professor. Who knows?
LeBron, because LeBron. He's got every statistic.
Yep.
No shit.
The probability is 1-for-1 or 100%. Twitter, bitch.
Hey, last time I checked,
that's one of the worst commercials
for one of the three. So,
it's not a very good one. But all right, we're heading to break. We've got Brian's movie review, which you saw.
I watched X-Men: Age of Apocalypse.
Did you guys just try to harmonize right there?
No, no. it's called trailing off. We've got that. We're gonna talk. One of my favorite. Comic book characters of all time, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, their new sequel, Out of the Shadows, which premieres tomorrow.
I wish this movie would stay in the shadows.
Stop it. And if we have time, we will get into the new rumored Bond castings. So we will see you on the flip side. What's up, everybody? Dan here to tell you about Trove. If you've never heard about Trove, it is a website that allows you to create and sell jewelry. And don't worry, you don't need any design experience, and there's no risk of holding an inventory. Trove just recently launched a jewelry line with YouTube beauty star Jaleesa Moses. It's the Numerology Collection. You want to check it out at trove.com / Jaleesa Moses. That's trove.com, T-R-O-V-E. Make sure to head over there, check it out, explore their design page. It's a really cool website, really cool idea where you can create your own unique piece of jewelry. That's trove.com.
Howdy ho, listeners. You are not in a jumping club in Vegas, even though this movie does remind me of a popular show in Vegas, the Blue Man Group. And no, I did not watch a marathon of Arrested Development. I was witness to X-Men Age of Apocalypse, and I survived. So this week for Brian's homeless movie reviews, I will be talking about the newest X-Men flick. And Brian Singer attached to direct this picture. Did he direct Days of Future Past?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he did. So
X1, X2, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, so he's directed the last two X-Men films. This one is piggybacking off of X-Men Days of Future Past and X-Men First Class. So this new timeline of X-Men characters. So we get introduced to a lot of additions in this movie. We see young versions of Cyclops, aka Scott Summers. We see Storm, aka who cares what her real name is. We see young Jean Grey. We see young Nightcrawler. We see young Angel. Who, you know, they don't label Archangel, but...
Is there a character arc?
With his character?
Yeah.
You better believe there is.
Oh.
Actually, there isn't one for him. He's a pretty simpleton in the movie. We don't see a young one, but we do see Psylocke for the first time on the big screen, which was pretty exciting because Olivia Munn can slice me open any day of the week. I'll tell you that much. But it was cool to see her on screen, and I think they did her justice in terms of like her abilities and, you know, just really like how badass she's supposed to be in the comics. I don't think they did a good job with a few other characters, but I'll get into that. So basically the plot of this movie, if you are unaware of the Apocalypse storyline, or at least the way that they decided to do it in this film, he is the world's first mutant. He has the ability to steal other mutants' powers. So as he's been alive for, you know, several thousand years, he has gained, I don't know if that's a real number. He's old as shit. He's gained lots of powers. Basically, like every power that you can think of, he can regenerate, he can control things with his mind, he can teleport, he's pretty much invincible. He is like buried in a pyramid in the, I think the 8th century, is awakened when these explorers discover the tip of this pyramid, and then he gets awakened, right? And then because he skipped so much time in history, he awakens into the current world. He realizes and makes the determination that, you know, everybody has ruined the world and needs to essentially destroy everything and see who survives. You know, a very Darwin-esque viewpoint. And so he goes out to recruit four mutants, like the four henchmen of the apocalypse. Yeah.
Horsemen?
The
four henchmen? Horsemen?
Horseman is the biblical term. They did not have henchmen in the Bible. This isn't a fucking Carmen Sandiego game.
What am I missing? There's four mutants that he goes out and recruits.
I've never heard the four henchmen of the apocalypse before.
They leave a paper trail. You stumble upon it like...
Yeah, so... And they make, of course, the... obvious connection between the stories in the Bible and Apocalypse. Oh, they got that from the Bible. Or did they get that from him? So clever. So clever screenwriters.
Oh, they throw the Bible into this.
Oh, yeah. Well, they make the comment.
Just that one.
Yeah, just that one. Okay. That's the only one they make, actually. So, yeah, the film goes on. Apocalypse finds his four... compadres to essentially destroy the universe, Psylocke, Storm, Magneto, and Archangel, versus pretty much every other mutant that that exists. You get a whole lot of Mystique in this movie. She's definitely a focal point and is definitely a driver in the story. And they just... It's just kind of ridiculous because, like, Mystique, she can, like, change into other people, which is cool. But, like, when you're fighting against Apocalypse, who could just, like, rip you in half with his mind, like, you know, not my first choice.
And he could steal the ability, too.
Well, he could
not,
if he wanted
not
to.
Not like that. It's a process.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, they have to be laying down in their Tempur-Pedic mattress from...
Egyptian times.
From Egyptian times.
Okay.
There's got to be like sun involved or something.
Stargate-ish kind of stuff.
Yeah, he basically takes their body over.
Okay.
Like a transference Ra, type of thing.
Basically. Right. Stargate from Ra. Or Ra from Stargate.
Yeah.
So there's that in the film. And it just was too much. Like after seeing Captain America Civil War and how well that was done just wholeheartedly in terms of the pace, in terms of the character introduction, in terms of like the humor that they always throw in to that side of the Marvel universe. Like everything was on point in this movie. It just felt like all the rest of the X-Men movies where you throw a whole bunch of characters in, you know, are like bridging that line between the canon of the comic books and like a new fresh take, and it just never works. So not only do you piss off movie fans because, you know, things just are too easy at the end because you have to wrap up this massive storyline in, you know, 2.5 hours. And then you get, of course, all the comic book nerds up in arms because he's so far away from like the actual origins and the histories of these characters. So all in all, it's just like a mediocre walk down the middle that he takes, as opposed to either going like full-fledged movie mode or like full-fledged comic mode.
Which was kind of teased when you saw Days of Future Past, I think a little bit. Like that was Bryan Singer kind of going like, I'm going to make a movie while I'm also going to nod to the comic book fans.
Yeah, I would agree. He starts to do like it more.
The
in
rocket
Days of
is
Future
propelled.
Past. Yeah, I thought that First Class, at least the origins of Xavier and Magneto, I thought that was done really well because it's like, okay, this feels like a movie. This feels like I'm being told a story as opposed to watching a movie about a comic book. And then, of course, it just slowly deteriorates over time, and I think that deterioration just continues throughout the trilogy, right?
Yeah, like it just gets worse and worse when it comes to story line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you give it though?
So yeah, all in all, I mean, like if you're a comic book fan, I would say go see it. It's, like I mentioned, cool to see some new characters.
Jubilee popped up?
Jubilee does pop up for a hot second. Oh, wow. But not much.
Some bullshit.
Yeah. Nightcrawler's, I think, pretty entertaining.
Kurt Vonnegut?
Yeah. Kurt.
Oh.
Don't call him Nightcrawler. You get a whole lot of Beast all up in you as well. Well, actually, really, you don't really get Beast. You get the actual dude for the majority of the movie, and then you get like Beast at the end. You get,
go figure, they're kind of doing a Hulk kind of thing.
Yeah, you get neutered Cyclops. That's kind of strange. Like my biggest gripe about the movie, both as a fan of film and as a comic book fan, is the end. The end of the movie is just, it sucks. It's just way too convenient. It's totally like outside the realm of the history of what they introduce. Like, I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but it's like, if you see it and you know any sort of history of the X-Men, like, it's just
ludicrous.
It's just really stupid, yeah. Ludacris does actually show up and rap a song to, like, distract Apocalypse.
That's funny, because that's actually believable.
Yeah.
Now that you've sold that.
Throw them bows.
I think this suffers from...
And what? Hold on real quick.
Go ahead, sorry.
So, final review for X-Men Age of Apocalypse. I'm giving 3 out of 5
That
quarters.
Sounds like it was barely a 3, though.
It was.
Okay.
It's like 2.5 Yeah. Like, I've never given a half, but
he really wanted
to
give you 30 minutes on that meter, but he's going to give you 36.
We're breaking on like 27, 28 cents right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think what it suffers from, like what you said with the ending, is that, like, you get like this climactic action sequence and battle at the end, but it's the only one you get for like the real whole movie. And that does not serve a villain like Apocalypse well.
Well, yeah. if you don't care about the characters too, that epic battle at the end doesn't mean shit,
like,
either. So
the arc, it, like, no character goes through an arc, like you said, like, it's flat.
If you could see one character that wasn't in this movie that could be put in this movie to make it somewhat more interesting, who would it be, Brian?
It wouldn't matter, because
it's
it wouldn't be
bad.
Done well.
Story-wise,
like
it's that bad.
Yeah. Because, like, and I go back to Captain America Civil War, because I think that's been the best of that that universe, the best movie of that universe by far. I thought the Avengers, you know, was really good. Iron Man I loved, but they really did it well, because not only did they introduce a new character in the Black Panther and, like, you know, do it well, but they also knew, and they introduced Spider-Man for fuck's sake. But they did it in a way where it just, like, it felt natural. It wasn't forced on you. You didn't really need a lot of character development for a lot of the main drivers in the movie, because they've already been introduced. And I think what X-Men suffers from is they keep hitting the reset button, and you don't have the ability to carry on from, like, prior storylines.
Yeah, here's the problem. They've spent 3 movies trying to put the X-Men together.
Yeah.
Like, a movie called X-Men, the plot, half of it is, we need to put the team together.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Right. You should have done that in First Class. Like, that was the point of the movie, right?
Which I will say, the one shot from the very end of the movie, which kind of shows some characters in original 90s costumes, was, like, the best part of the last 20 minutes for me. Like, I'm so sorry, but Cyclops actually looks really, really badass once you see him on screen, like, in what he's supposed
to
look like.
Is he in the yellow and blue?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, like, is Wolverine in that? I don't want to give it away. Because
there's only, like, his cameo is one part, and
it's a Weapon X cameo. Yeah. That's what I heard, or whatever. Yeah. Not any blue or yellow, though.
No.
Because that was the...
I did appreciate how they did Weapon X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to keep the costumes, because that's how you keep the dynamic between Wolverine and Cyclops. They're color opposites. Look it up. I mean, you can tell that they are...
Well, they start, too. There's an interaction between
X and Jean Grey. It sounds like there are some fan favor moments to this movie, but overall, it's a piece of shit.
I mean, I wouldn't
even say it's
fan favor.
Terrible. Like when you've seen Etz 3 and you've seen Wolverine Origins, like those are pieces of shit. This is just like a, I thought it was going to be better.
But I think that that's unfair. Oh, I mean, it's not necessarily unfair though, but when you look at those movies at the time that they came out, there wasn't necessarily a, like a comic book precedent that had been set in place or whatever. They were just shitting out.
See,
movies
here's,
left
here's
and right
the problem
whatever.
Is like Apocalypse he's basically invincible, right? And you don't get that feeling in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that they're doing Thanos in the other universe, you are like, they're slowly bringing it along. And I think that they're finally going to like drop
like an impending doom that is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like rather than just a very, very instant introduction to an imposing character that is just going to sweep across one movie and take it over.
Here, you want to know what really upset me about this movie? Is they never call him Apocalypse.
That's true.
He's never given a name.
Yeah.
Non-spoiler, does he grow?
What?
Okay.
Yeah, that's
never mind. Yeah, we won't talk about that. Okay. We won't talk about that. But that was in the suit. That was in the cartoon series. That was the one thing that actually made Apocalypse somewhat cool when I was a kid watching that series was the fact that he had that suit that could kind of make him grow. I'm assuming that if he has powers, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. So, yeah. Anyway.
But moving from one comic book movie to another.
Ooh.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Yeah, another steaming pile that...
Hey, hold up. Okay.
We have a pile? Very, very hard division on this movie.
Yes.
I'll just introduce it right now. Brian thinks this movie is going to be a piece of shit.
Oh.
Dan is...
Absolutely.
I don't think it's going to be good.
Oh, no. But Dan's looking forward to it.
Yes.
And I'm not staking Dan because I'll tell you, the trailers have made it very, very interesting. Yeah. For a series that I've written off from the very get-go.
I mean, some of the coolest things that like the comic and the cartoon have done have never been on the big screen before. They're finally doing.
Yeah. Krang.
And Bebop and Rocksteady.
Brian, mm-hmm. Your opinions on those two so far?
I think great idea, but...
Casey Jones, man.
Well, we'll jump to that. Dan, don't jump.
Sorry.
Hey, we're trying to leverage our argument.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, much
we
like...
We got the jury right here.
Much
we're
like
trying to
Dan,
leverage our argument.
This holds a very close place in my heart because growing up, the Ninja Turtles by far were my favorite cartoon. I literally had an entire drawer full of Ninja Turtle action figures, much more than my G.I. Joes, my Legos, my Star Wars figurines, you know, Ninja Turtles was it.
Did you have the one that had the pull tape behind the sewer on the back that could actually do a voice thing? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I did not own that. But yeah, with this movie and just this new launch franchise, the first one, I mean, was just like a kick in the nuts. It's a lot like that South Park episode where they remake, you know, Indiana
Don't
Jones.
Don't you dare. No, this is not Crystal Skull.
Yes.
No, it is not Crystal Skull.
Dan, I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if it's Crystal Skull.
I'm not saying this
territory.
Film.
No, I'm talking about
saying
the first one. It
yeah,
wasn't...
the first one, for sure.
But we're leveraging it off of, okay, so it, as being as fair as possible between you two, the mediator, Brian, do you really equate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 up to Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It could be an opinion.
So
that's someone asked.
So, but I think that what we're seeing right now is an introduction to a franchise. They're doing Sheamus.
But it's different. You know, that's a different comparison. So, like,
that's
I would say
good call.
The cartoons to
that's
the
a,
most
that's
recent
a
introduction.
Comparison.
Yes.
That
I would put that on the
comparison.
Level of... You know, original OG and, Indiana Jones versus Crystal Skull.
Man, that is a good comparison.
Knocking your mic tonight.
I'm excited. I'm talking with my hands a lot.
Let me say this though, real quick. Is the fact that I think the one thing that holds these movies back completely is the fact that there are two, like, producers that have a hand in it.
Michael Bay.
Well, not only Michael Bay, but Nickelodeon Studios. Like, while they're making these movies, they're trying, like, I heard this one's a lot better in targeting us, people who grew up with it, but they still have to keep it relevant to the product that Nickelodeon sells to kids.
Which is horseshit.
which
so they have a
which is by this horse.
You know
shit.
That Sean Astin does like the voice of and Seth Green are do the voice acting for their TV series now.
Yeah, really? I can tell you yeah. like it, immediately when I see the Nickelodeon logo. It's only happened probably two or three times. But when I'm in a theater and I see the Nickelodeon logo sprawl across a screen, I go, it's like a shot in the nuts, and I'm numb for the remainder of the movie. Like, I just have to be, I have to remain numb for the remainder of the movie.
Because there's a lot of kids in the theater, and you can't get excited.
And this was like a few of their first like PG-13 movies that they've made. But I will say,
Time Stoppers?
The writing for the Turtles is way better than how it's been treated in the past. Like,
is the character writing though, Dan?
Yeah, like the Turtles, and from what I've heard from like the Nerdist review of this one, the Turtles are the best part. They're the best part. It's not a focus on Megan Fox like the first one was.
And they got rid of one turtle.
I
right?
wish the first movie would have just been a
and her
a featurette on Megan Fox.
And her,
that would have been great.
Toe thumbs.
Yeah, sure.
Anytime she drives a car in a movie, I get weirded out. Yes, Johnny Knoxville is not returning as the voice of
Boom,
Leonardo. Is what I heard.
Because why the hell is he a leader?
I thought that was weird too.
Yeah, him among all people. You have Raph, who I thought was
Raph.
Pretty.
I love yeah, he's
pretty good in the first one. The movie itself wasn't too good, but I think they nailed the characters down.
Yeah,
the characters themselves. I'm interested to see if they can put them into a more interesting plot.
One of my favorite scenes from the first one is just so subtle, but it's when they're all in the elevator about to go fight Shredder and they just start to like beat bots with each other because that's the random goofiness of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, it's this is not as serious as all the other comic book movies. This isn't going to be like a Civil War or even an X-Men where you're dealing with higher level issues. This is supposed to be kind of a parody of superheroes, kind of goofy, kind of just like don't take it that seriously. I mean, Crane, for all sorts, is a brain inside a metal body. Come on, guys.
He kind of looks badass, though.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what you say, it's a bad movie.
I
don't know this movie because I haven't seen it yet, but
okay,
fool
okay,
me
okay.
once, Michael Bay, you know?
Okay, Brian. Sounds like you're not too sold on this, but we've been keeping the secret bomb in our pocket. The hidden ace. Tyler Perry is Baxter.
I really thought you were going to say Stephen Amell's J.C. Jones, but...
No.
Thank you okay. for just waving the white flag.
All right. Well, if Tyler Perry's in it, then I guess I got to see
Stephen Amell, though, as Casey Jones, I think that is going to be a very, very good Casey Jones. Actually think it's going to be better than Elias Kotas in the first one.
Yeah.
He'll probably be a better replacement for that. That is the one character that I think is going to be a substantial improvement from the first one.
Especially because Stephen Amell can do a lot of his own stunts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the CGI green screen.
Well, yeah.
Right. I know. I don't know. Like, I've always had this picture of Casey Jones in my head, and he doesn't really, he doesn't fit the description.
Who fits Casey Jones?
Man, who fits Casey Jones? Like a young Nicolas Cage?
Ooh, okay. How about you, Dan?
Like I get.
You want like the kind of the gritty long hair?
Yeah. He's street tough.
I'm completely fine with Stephen Amell. Stephen Amell, Casey Jones.
I'm gonna throw one out there right now. Never seen acting ability or anything like that. Trent Reznor. Casey Jones. He'll nail it.
He's going to have that electric gun, right?
Guarantee it. I'll put it on right now.
Yeah, I'm going to see it. Brian, you're more than welcome to come with me. It'll be an enjoyable experience, even if the movie's not
You
that
likely
great.
Couldn't pay me to see that movie.
How about if we made an episode out of it?
I think we should do that. I think we should do that.
How are we going to make an episode out of
we
it?
We should record ourselves.
In the theater?
We'll bring
the
mics right outside the theater. We'll record. We'll go inside. And we'll come out and we'll do live reactions.
We'll give a post reaction to it. Oh
yeah,
my
we've
God.
Got him. We've got him.
God, we might have sold Brian.
All right, so stay tuned. We're going to look into legal stuff about how we can't get sued for doing Pop Not Soda at the actual movies.
For ripping Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into asshole, right?
Or for bringing Brian to the theaters.
Yeah, bring you to the the.
I think he's legally
light
banned
side.
For a while. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
From the theaters? No. They love me at the theaters.
That incident in 98 is cleared now?
I mean, you piss on one screen and people just
overreact. Because there's a bathroom on the screen does not mean it's an actual bathroom, Brian.
Sounds like we might be able to take that.
I mean, I didn't want to miss any of the
we'll
movie.
We'll look into the legal ramifications. So stay tuned for that. As always, we've been Pop Not Soda. If you miss us throughout the week, you can follow us on Twitter. Brett is at Niece's Pieces. All the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle hate is at BOwens619. You can find me at Dan_Perez_ or our general account at Pop_Not Soda. Find us on Facebook, /Pop Not Soda Official. Make sure to check out our brand new episodes every Monday on popnotsoda.podbean.com and on iTunes podcast. Search Pop Not Soda and make sure to subscribe so you never have to look this up and it automatically downloads to your app. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.